Yes, today I'm joined by producer, entertainment executive, and director of development for ESPN Films, Adam Newhouse. Adam, what's going on?
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm looking forward to this one, but it's going to be interesting. So like
Let's
I said, welcome to the NBA panel. How's things going with you?
Yeah, it's good. I'm happy that they've decided that the NBA season's coming back so quick.
Yes.
Fast coverage, you know. I'm ready for free agency.
Yes, cannot wait. Season coming back in like a month, December 22nd. I cannot wait.
Seriously.
This is going to be the quickest turnaround I think we've had since the lockout, the 50-game season, I think. This is going to be crazy, but it's going to be a good thing because most of the teams haven't played. Only teams really complaining will be the Lakers and the Heat because they went to the finals. Everybody else had some sense of time to rest, so it's going to be some good basketball.
That's the whole point. And by the way, like, look at the Warriors. Think about how much basketball they've played in the last 5 years. Now, Draymond and Klay have gotten all this time to rest and get ready. Like, it's going to be an epic season, I think.
Yes, definitely. I can't wait for the turn of Kevin Durant. We got Kyrie. We got John Wall coming back. We got Klay Thompson. I cannot wait.
I mean, we haven't had an NBA trade in 9 months. I'm dying to see some trades over the next, like, month and a half, too.
Yeah, that's about to be lifted soon, too. So, yeah, we're going to see how that works out, too. Some teams might move up in the draft. So we're going to see a lot of movement there, too.
That's right. I'm very excited about it. That's the best thing about the NBA, right? It's like, it's the games, but it's everything, right? It's the front office. It's what's happening on Instagram. It's kind of a full narrative, which I love as a story guy. You know, it's not just about who wins and loses. And I think when you dive in, there's places like yourself putting on this podcast, like articles, and it's just like a full 360 degrees of the world.
Yes. So tell us a little about yourself. Tell us about Newhouse Ideas.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Newhouse Ideas is kind of just an extension of myself. You know, people always ask, like, what's your superpower? Like, what's the one thing that you do that you think is unique and special? And, you know, for as long as I remember, I've always been able to, like, come up with, like, ideas. Now, a lot of those ideas will be bullshit, and they won't all be good. But I can generate lots and lots of ideas, and I've been able to do that my whole life. You know, whenever I was in a brainstorming session, I was able to contribute lots of ideas. And so, as I've done my career, my job in development is basically like finding ideas, creating ideas, packaging ideas, putting together content ideas across anything, digital, TV, film, branded, whatever it is, and try to put them together and try to get them sold. And so, over the years, like, not only have I had my jobs and working and doing stuff trying to sell reality shows or digital shows or documentaries, but I've also had little side things as well. And so I've made Newhouse Ideas my kind of place where I could share how I think about things and talk about ideas that I'm looking to, that get me excited.
Right. Brainstorming and progress are one and two. A lot of great ideas come from brainstorming. I mean, it's been many times. I sat around. I do it all the time. I brainstorm about which way to go with the show, who to get on, like ideas to make things better. It's always about development and making things better. Brainstorming is, I love doing that. You come up with great ideas and you get them ideas, you write them down, or just put them into immediate action.
Yeah, well, I think that's the hard part, right? I mean, I think a lot of people feel like they can come up with ideas and they're sitting around and, whatever, but it's like, it's that next stage, where you actually turn to action. Because what I like to say is, like, every idea is already out there.
Right.
You know what
true.
I mean? Like, it's so rare to have an idea that's like totally, completely 100% original. Everything builds on something else. So it's really like, how can you execute it? And how can you execute it in a way that's fresh and different? But on the other hand, like, if you have a crappy idea with great execution, that's like multiplying something by zero.
Right.
It won't do anything either. So both are important, but certainly execution, if you don't have that, you're just going to be stuck, in the realm of ideas.
Very true. Another factor is dealing with reality. You got to be realistic with ideas you have. And sometimes you got to play chess to get those ideas into position to bring them into reality. I've done that many times. So sometimes you got to be patient and let things play out. At the same time, you got to move without staying still. I know you know what I just said. I know you know what I mean.
You're ahead of the crowd, man. I talk about not just chess, but like three-dimensional chess.
Okay.
You know, how can you think about, and I think that third dimension is time, as
right.
you said. Like, there are a lot of ideas that I've worked on that have taken years to
right.
come to fruition. And
right.
by the way, like, that's a good Darwin way of knowing how into an idea you are. You know,
right.
if a couple of years in, you're still grinding on it or you still think it's something there, that means it's probably worth you continuing to pursue it. You know, a lot of times people, they get tired of an idea and they let it go. And it's like, well, you know, you weren't able to see that through then. You know,
right,
there are certain ideas where you're like, hey, I want to try to make this happen quick. Can I make this transaction? Can I get paid? Whatever it
right.
is. And I understand that. That's certainly part of it. But the true ideas, the ones you love, you know, those are the ones where you're going to have a lot of people say no. You're going to have to wait for the right time. You're going
right.
to have to wait for a partner. All of those things need to happen. I always think about, you know, look at Harry Potter, right? 100 people said no to that idea before
yes.
she got a publisher. So it's like
yes.
you really got to just be – if you love the idea and it hits you somewhere deep, then
right.
you got to do what you're saying, being strategic, thinking about how you can make an idea happen. And another thing that I'm a big fan of too is like, don't choke your idea to death. Like,
right.
find a partner. Like, don't try to own 100% of zero. There's a lot of projects that I have where I might have come up with the idea, and
right.
then someone else is a better fit to lead the idea. And I got to have the humility and be able to check my ego to let somebody else lead that idea, even if I created it.
Right.
And like, for me, like, I always know I'll have other ideas, so it's not a big deal. But it's like, you got to be able to say, what's more important, that I get the credit or that this idea happens? And that's
right.
a key distinction for people.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes. So tell us about the Ghetto Film School where you help kids. That's a huge thing and part of the thing you're doing.
You know, I've been a collaborator and just somebody who's just tried to be there for Ghetto Film School for a long time now, you
right.
know, for at least 15 years. And, you know, I think for myself, I've kind of always grown up volunteering or just trying to give back in my community. And so, you know, in the beginning of my career, I was kind of, you know, hustling at work, but looking around and trying to fill that void. What was I doing to make the world better? What was I doing just to give back on my gifts? And I just had this realization, like, all right, what's the most important thing? Yeah, you can donate some cash. Yeah, you can donate some things. But what's more important? If you can share your expertise, if you can share your time, if you can share your energy. And then it's like, well, let me share it in my city where I live, right?
Right.
And then it was like, all right, in my industry. And so, you know, when I was looking around, I was amazed by the team of the Ghetto Film School, which, by the way, lots of the leadership of the Ghetto Film School has been there plus 15 years, which
right.
never happens in nonprofits. And so that just goes to show you. And listen, like, it's not hard to look around and be like, this place is way too white, media, all the way across the board. And I've known that for a long time. And the key is to get a bigger pipeline of people coming because
right.
it's a hard industry. A lot of people, they break in their 20s, but you really don't make it until you're in your mid-30s. So you need people
right.
who are constantly filling that pipeline. And so working with young creators is just
right.
also a way to stay relevant and hear what's coming up. And the talent is amazing. It's really just about opportunity.
Right.
There's literally nothing else besides that. And so, you know, working with that organization, I've now seen kids go from 15 years old to full on working in the industry. And
right.
so what's amazing for me is like, yeah, I continue to work with young kids. I continue to work with that organization, but this is a benefit for me. I'm going to be working with people in my career and I'm
right.
going to be working with them throughout my career. And so I love that part about it. It's not a thing I do on the side. It's something that's intrinsic to what I believe in and my whole career.
Right, and bouncing off of what you just said, you give someone an opportunity, you'll see who really wants it, who stands out, and who wants it as a career, and who wants it as a hobby. Like, I started the NBA panel, it wasn't a hobby from the beginning. Now, some 3.5 years in, I've covered the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's connected with the Basketball Hall of Fame. Team NBA basketball, the Sixers G League team. I mean, I've connected this to so many outlets through
That's
hard
right.
work.
That's right. And by the way, like, if you could just do the work, I always tell people, like, be excited that you could do the work in the shadows.
Yeah.
Be excited that there's not a big spotlight on you in the beginning, because that means you can experiment, you know, you can work for free, you can collaborate
yeah.
with people, and then look what you've done. You've built up an entire back catalog, right? You've built
yeah.
up an entire expertise. You know what works for you, you know what doesn't work. You've gotten those reps. You know, right. That Malcolm Gladwell thing of 10,000 hours, that's true for the most part, you know? And it's like, are you really getting those reps? And don't worry about, you know, the highest praise or the biggest title, but instead, like, are you able to kind of, like, take responsibility for something and get those reps in? So, you know, build something from scratch, man. You get a lot of appreciation for doing that as well.
Yes, and they don't see you coming until it's too late. You're here. You
That's
understand
right.
what I mean?
Well, and by the way, you're undeniable. That's the best thing. So it's not like you're waiting for a gatekeeper or waiting for someone to anoint you for a thing. You know, they always say that phrase, like, it takes 15 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah, I don't believe
you know,
that.
You got to put yourself in that position.
You're right.
And if you're undeniable, look at how many episodes I've done. Look how much work I put in. Then it doesn't matter who the gatekeeper is. They have to say yes, or if your numbers are big enough or whatever it is.
Right. Exactly. ESPN Films, tell us about the experience over there. Maybe you found a great home over there.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN Films, listen, it's a joy to work for what I think is not just one of the great sports brands of 30 for 30 and ESPN Films, but really one of the great storytelling brands, regardless, across all of entertainment. You know, I've been there 5 years. What they built was amazing. And the ability to kind of come in and influence that next generation, that ability to find directors to tell those stories, the ability to kind of, you know, continue to add to the legacy of 30 for 30, it's just been a true honor. And also, you know, I've worked for a lot of times on shows that have never gotten on the air or never been made and worked for years on them. And so it's also nice to kind of put a lot of work into something and then see it come out in the world.
The 30 for 30 documentaries are a work of art, you know, live. I mean, they, especially when The Last Dance came out, like that, in the middle of the pandemic, millions of people tuned in to that.
You know, I mean, that was like right place, right time, right story. It all lined up. And, you know, again, that was, again, people don't remember, though, like, so they all see when it came out. I mean, that thing spent, you know, a couple of years being negotiated, a couple of years made. You know, it was a long journey, you know, getting that footage, you know, was a long journey. And so, you know, sometimes it arrives at a moment that makes sense. Now, listen, like, that thing was going to be big regardless of when we dropped it. So it's like the pandemic certainly added, I think, some more attention to it. But, you know, it was going to come out during the NBA Finals. So, like, it's not like it would be like some indie thing. We were going to put, you know, the timing was just right on a Jordan piece and finding that big canvas. But certainly with the pandemic, just it cut a lot of other noise out. And I think a lot of people enjoyed, you know, focusing on that.
Yeah, that was a perfect storm. Everything lined up perfectly in a bad situation. But, yeah, it was a great documentary, great one. Is there any off the top of your mind that you influenced that sticks out for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I think what's amazing and hard is, like, we've done over 100 feature films. We've done 50 or 60 shorts. And now we've done 20-something podcasts, you know? So it's hard to find stories that we think really merit, you know, the thing. But I'm very proud of our Bruce Lee documentary, Be Water. You know, that one for me, like, it feels like an evolution for 30 for 30. It feels like, oh, why is ESPN doing a Bruce Lee or martial arts? Well, you know, it's athleticism. So certainly that fits within. And I like when 30 for 30 can be unexpected on people, where they're looking for one thing and you're like, oh, wow, like I didn't see that coming, you know? So that's one that recently came out that I'm very proud of. In that same vein, you know, I think a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, you know, we did one called The Good, the Bad, the Hungry. It's about the hot dog eating competition.
Okay, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, and you might think, like, yeah, it's like pure comedy. But actually, like, there's multiple people crying in that story. You know, it's actually really – so, again, it's like you come in with this one idea, and then we totally flip the script of, like, of what it is. So that's something that's really interesting to me. And then, you know, the podcast has been a really amazing addition to the brand, you know. It's not like we're making, like, two people talking in a room podcast. These are, like, audio documentaries. And so learning about what makes sense in an audio sense – That has been an incredible journey, and the stories we can tell are slightly different. You know, we did the Sterling Affairs, which was all about Donald Sterling.
Right.
We just did a 7-part series about Bella and Marta Caroli, the coaches of the U.S. gymnastics team. But we've also done, like, a story about Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, you know, and they're playing abroad, which is, like, an amazing 45-minute story. So we've been able to get into stories that I think – you know, might not have the footage that exists, but are really amazing, incredible stories.
You guys do an amazing job with the product you put out. You really do. You guys do.
We're just trying to keep up and, you know, and kind of make sure there's enough stuff, you know, in the pipeline, you know, that can keep coming out. But also, again, we want everything that we come out, you might say, oh, I don't really know that much about that subject. It doesn't really interest me, but I want you to say it's a 30 for 30. So I'm going to trust it and know it's going to be good. And I'm going to learn something new. And that's what we really want.
I understand exactly what you mean. That's like when you watch a movie, you see a sort of a dust club and you come across the screen, you know, it's going to be a good movie.
That's
I know
right.
exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. So what about, what influenced you to get into the field?
You know, I've always, you know, I remember going to the movies, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old. It's always been a thing my dad was passionate about. And so I remember, you know, just stories in general being what it is. I didn't grow up in a family where it was you could see that as a path. So I didn't really know that was what I was going to get into. I didn't know how to do it. But basically, you know, I always knew I wanted to tell stories. And I took the approach of just kind of diving in. You know, I've had a lot of different jobs, doing a lot of different things in media, and every job I've had has served a purpose. You know, for the jobs I've hated, they've been incredibly illuminating, because I'll do a job I hate and then say, I guess this is not a part of what I really want to do, right? And I get from that. And so every experience has gotten me closer to doing exactly what I want. And now I really have this kind of distillation, like I know what I want out of my career. And my career is about finding, developing, and creating amazing ideas and getting them put out into the world.
Right. I know exactly what you mean. I'm transitioning out to do this full time. I'm only doing NBA panel part time, but I'm putting full time work. So I'm making it happen.
You can tell the pride in it. And again, you're making it undeniable. You know, there'll be that moment where it's like, can I make a living at this? You know, and you're getting closer and closer, and you can do that. And like, and then once you have that as a podcast, you'd be like, what else can I build off this? Is there a digital show? Is there a TV show? Is there merchandise? Is there, you know, analysis? Whatever it is, you're going to be able to do that because you've put so much brand equity into what you've done.
Exactly. So what do you like most about being a producer? I know me, I love putting shows together. I love networking. I've just met you. You seem like a cool guy. I'm totally going to talk again. I mean, what do you like most about producing? I love putting things together, making things happen. That's it for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I love when an idea comes together, you know, and a lot of times, it's again, it's a great idea, and then it's a great storyteller.
Right.
And then you try to give them time and money, right? I mean, it's like a very simple thing that we try to do. It's like, great storyteller, great idea, time, and money. And, like, it still might not turn out great, but that's the kind of best equation I've found so far. So I guess when you find that snug fit where the filmmaker or the storyteller or the production company is like, oh, this is, like, right in their wheelhouse, you know? And then you have a story where you're like, wow, I'm seeing the layers to this story that I didn't even know, you know, and I really see. And then I look at the marketplace and I say, wow, this is going to arrive at the perfect time for this. Like when all of that comes together, that to me feels like a special moment.
Speak on technology, because now we have Twitter, we have IG. Like you can just post something and then minutes later, millions will see it. How does technology help producing in your eyes?
Listen, I think it's great. It removes gatekeepers, right? You can create a billion-dollar franchise from home, no doubt. Look at all the YouTubers. Look at anybody who started a great, you know, you can sell a show off a Twitter feed. You know, you can create, you know, people make fun of the Instagram influencers, but you can create your own business on it. So there you go. No excuses anymore. People who, like, you know, claim forever, like, oh, I couldn't, You could do it yourself now. And by the way, the best thing about kind of digital is, like, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's how many views you got. That's how many followers you have. That's how many people are listening to your podcast. You can't hide behind, well, I didn't, you know, it's like, if it's really compelling, if it's really good, whatever you make across anything, it will be found. There are people every day scouring the internet for the next great thing. So if it's not been found, it's probably not great. It's probably could be on its path to great, but it's not great yet. And so I think, you know, what's amazing about this is that you can build entire worlds from any medium whatsoever.
Right, true. And a lot of internet influencers are now doing movies off of what they created, doing TikToks. Well, not TikToks, but Vine creators. They're now in movies, doing movies.
Again, it'll be the same thing with TikTok. You'll see TikTok people in the movies, and they'll launch people's careers. I mean, listen, I mean, again, Justin Bieber, that was a YouTube discovery.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's your one example. There'll be the same type of thing for TikTok. There'll be somebody in 10 years who's one of the biggest celebrities in the world who was discovered off that, you know? And so it's just opened the field, I think, for things. And, you know, again, like, we now have so many choices. Not everything needs to be at the level of, like, you're, you know, making gajillions of dollars.
Right.
There's a lot of ways you can make a great life and a great living off a very niche idea, you know? And that's amazing, too, you know? You find an idea and you can make 200 grand a year for that idea, like, God bless, you know? That might not be a huge hit, you know, but if that could be steady like that, that's great money.
Okay, when I'm trying to cook, well, when I connect the NBA title with another outlet, I think about, okay, what's the process I have to go about? I can look back on past shows or past people I've connected with and be like, okay, I know him. Okay, I need to know him. Or I need to do this to do that. What's your creative process? Like when I'm about to do a show, like, I zone in. Like, everyone has like, a ritual they might do. Like, I take a deep breath and, like, let go of everything else before I start recording to zone in my mind on what I got to do. When you start doing a production, what's your creative process? Like, what do you do to get into the mood to find out, okay, I got to do this and do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's a little bit different because yours is the performance, you know. You have to be ready to go. You know, I'm working a bit more in the shadows on
things.
But, you know, I think there are certain things that people don't do that they should do, right? If you have an idea that you think is really good, go do a ton of research to see if something's been done on it before. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, nobody does that. I mean, it seems like such basic stuff, but, like, I always tell people, if I can recreate your pitch from 30 minutes on Google, that's not a good pitch. You're just, like, cobbling together something that's already known. Like, go a little bit further. Tell me something I don't know about something. Like, tell me, like, oh, you're pitching me an NBA show? It's like, watch all the other digital shows, all the other shows, so that when I say, well, is it kind of like this idea that I've heard of before? You can be like, I've actually watched all those. Here's how mine is different.
Right.
So it's like there's knowledge in doing the grind, doing the backwards research.
Yes.
And nobody – so I call it like stress test your idea.
Right.
You know? Because a lot of ideas are already out there, you know, and so you got to be able to, you know, tell people why yours is different from something that's similar.
Yes, I love feedback. To me is huge. And like, I had Gary Payton on the show a couple times, and he left a feedback on his website that said that NBA panel was different because it dives into the athlete's life on top of just talking stats. That's the thing that I planted that I wanted to get across.
There you
go. I don't talk about stats. Like, I want to get to know you, build relationships on top of, if we go into the NBA stats, that's fine, but my show is not about that. It's about everything.
See, but there you go. You're willing to take that feedback. You put an idea, you tested it, and then it came back, okay, I'm on the right thing, right? And I'm sure your show has evolved from episode one.
Right. Yes,
so
a lot.
Our whole lives, we're iterative, you know? We're evolving, you know, species, you know? And so you should always be, you know, moving your idea, making it better, you know?
Yeah.
Out exactly what you want to do, you know? And when it comes to, like, networking, you know, I always tell people, like, just choose, you know, one social media platform to go deep on.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big Twitter guy. Like, I know if I got into that, it would just blow up all the hours of my day. And so I have a Twitter account, and every now and again I'll check. But, like, for me, LinkedIn is the thing for me. So that's where I go deep on and try to like really engage on. IG, I don't post a lot, but I look at stuff. But again, I go deep on LinkedIn. So it's like, it doesn't matter what your platform is, if it's Facebook, if it's TikTok, if it's Twitter, but like for one of them, go deep. And you can use that, as you've done, to network and find people. And, you know, again, if you can write a good email, you can be connected with anybody on all these things.
Right. Since you started on your career, what's the biggest difference you've seen in the industry?
I think it's just the kind of explosion of more platforms. That's certainly been, you know, the idea that you could do full shows on Twitter and Instagram is a full thing. So, like, just launching platforms has been big. You know,
right.
The streaming universe has certainly been big, you know, and seeing that change, you know, from just kind of a cable television world. And, you know, I just think now is just the best time to be a creator. You know, I just think there's more and more places to sell stuff. You know, there's more and more abroad places to sell stuff. There's more, you know, there's just lots of ways to make your ideas happen. And I think it used to be very rigid in the types of shows that got made and where you could sell things, and that was it. And now I think there's just a lot more tools.
Right. You had a great career through hard work. What would you say to someone that's trying to get into the industry that might look at your path and say, I want to do that, but at the same time, you got to put in the hard work that you've done? Some people look at what you've done and be like, that's got to be easy. No, what you see is not easy. The hard work makes it look easy.
It's just like, as you know, like every single thing that's important in your life is going to take longer than you think. You know, there's an old thing, like if you ask people, they're trying to redo their house, you know, interior design, they're always like double the amount of time that the contractor says it's going to take.
Right.
Because that's the same thing for your career. Like the idea that you're going to blow up in your 20s, like, you know, we laud that in the media when that happens. It is so rare when it does. And so you got to be prepared for the long game. Everyone's playing the short game. You know, there are things that I've been working on for so long, or, you know, I'll meet somebody and I'll be like, I know this is going to pay off in 10 years.
Right.
You know, so I would say, like, make sure your timeline is lined up. You know,
right.
I would also say, like, get a lot of experience in a lot of different ways, you know, like, all through my career, I've had side gigs working for free. So not just stuff that are my own ideas, but like I hear an idea from someone else. That sounds cool. And I would go to them and say like, I just think this is cool. What can I do to help? And working for free for someone else is one of the most powerful things you can do. One, because people are dying to have people to help collaborate with them on things.
Right.
Two, you're able to try on a role. You know, like I always wanted to be a producer. I didn't start as a producer, but on my side gigs, I was a producer.
Right.
Even when I was an assistant, you know, on a web series, I was able to be a producer. So I was able to try out that role on that. And, you know, I would say, like, always have a side gig, you know. If you're interested in media, like, you got to read about it, you know.
Yeah.
One of my first things I always tell people is, like, get the Hollywood Reporter, you know. Like, subscribe to Variety. Like, read Deadline, whatever your industry is, find the industry newsletter that makes sense and start reading it every day so that you know what's going on in the industry as well. So start to educate yourself that way. And, you know, just kind of, you just got to kind of keep at it. I mean, the sauce at the end of the day is not always about who's best. It's just kind of who didn't give up, you know?
Right. Can you remember the best advice you've been given over your career by anyone? Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one. Best advice.
Or could have been an experience you've had that pushed you to like, okay, I learned from that. I'm going to move on to this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is kind of like what I've already said is like, you know, just partner up on things, you know?
Gotcha.
Compromise and collaborate. Like, don't try to like, you know, projects are so difficult, you know, it's rare for anything to be a single person construct, right? I mean, maybe the podcast is your one man band, but one man bands are hard and rare. So, you know, it's about how well you work with other people, and finding what role is best for you and finding people who cover your mistakes, you know, or cover your weaknesses and where your strengths, their weaknesses. And find those types of situations, I think, are really important.
Yeah, I definitely want that one. The NBA, as we said, is coming back in like a month. I can't wait to see KD come back. I think he's going to be okay because if you look at his shooting form, he's so tall. He may just – he does that Dirk straightaway sometimes, but he's so tall he can shoot over the defenders. So that Achilles injury is not really going to affect him in that way, I don't believe, because he don't have to get explosive shooting. And I think the Nets are going to be a whole problem coming out of the East next year – well, this year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Achilles is – that's a tough injury, but it's
right.
– It used to be a death knell. Now with the best doctors and a lot of rest, right? They haven't forced him back. You know,
right.
That's all going to be helpful. I think you're right. Like, his ability to shoot from the outside will mitigate some of the need for the pure athleticism
right. That
he needs. You know, if you can get a lot more open looks with Kyrie breaking down the defense, you know, I think it's interesting. I think you're going to see one more move by them. You know, they got a lot of guys, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen. That are all maybe can be combined. You know, maybe
right.
they get involved in the Drew Holiday, you know, scenario. Maybe
yeah.
they're out for Bradley Beal. You know, although I think having depth is actually really important too. And Dinwiddie
yeah.
and LeBron, I think, are super talented guys. But also, look at the staff they put together now. Like,
yeah.
That's like a dream team coaching team.
Yeah.
Like, Kyrie and KD are both genius-level players too. Like, they're
yes.
basketball. And then you got Nash, D'Antoni, Emek, I forget how to pronounce his last name, Okoa, I think.
Yeah.
San Antonio. Like, they got a real mind meld going on over there. So I'm eager to see them, you know, be really strong next year. I also think the Warriors, you know, I think they have one more move, right? The number two pick, that Wiggins contract.
Right.
Like, what if they add one more piece to that team? I could talk about, like, so many teams. You know, it's like, who's going to make those moves? There's a lot of good teams and several shitty teams.
Yeah, the Nets got the under 6 seconds left on the bench, so we're going to see some, some transition basketball.
They're not going to have a problem scoring. That's not
right.
going to be the issue for them. It's going to be, can they defend enough to be championship
yeah.
caliber, you know?
Very true. Very true. They still got DeAndre Jordan in the middle, the anchor of the defense. So they're going to be that's a problem.
They're
going to be a problem.
Well, you know, let's see what type of DeAndre you get now, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Very true.
But yeah, I mean, listen, that's a veteran guy that will it could be part of a championship core. So,
right.
But I'm also eager to see what Philly is, you know, going to happen now. I also think the Clippers are going to be really good again next year. I think like a full season, like that team is going to be excellent. And I wonder, you know, the Lakers, I think, are going to get rid of a bunch of guys and start again too. They're going to be really good. I mean, there's so much talent in the league right now. It's really fun to see.
Definitely. Witnessing your team, LeBron. I mean, he's head on 17, like he's still in year 12 or something. Like, but we don't take care of his body very well.
You talk about being strategic, you know. He got with a thoroughbred, you know, for Davis to kind of handle stuff as well. And, you know,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
That team, you know, it's really comes down to playoffs anyway. If you finish, you know, you don't need to be, you know, finish one or two, but they're going to just by virtue of those two guys.
Very true. Everybody looking toward the future, talking about lining up somebody with Anthony Davis a couple years from now when LeBron.
Well, here's the question for you. Do you think LeBron hangs around long enough to play with Bronny?
I think he's going to on purpose. I think so. My answer is yes. I believe so. That's something
he's
said.
He's trying to pull that Ken Griffey Jr. thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Back-to-back home runs.
That's
yeah.
right. That's never been done in the NBA. It's almost impossible to do because the game
right.
is so athletic-based. But, like,
yeah.
impossible. I mean, and I think we're basically, like, one Bronny, like, growth spurt away.
Right.
Like, you know, if he's 6'2", it's not happening. If
right.
he's 6'6", 6'7", who the hell knows, you know?
Yeah, we saw long Vince Carter hung around. I think I definitely LeBron has more years than Vince had because Vince – LeBron is in better shape than Vince was at that point in his career, I believe. And it's showing.
I mean,
like,
I also believe that, like, when LeBron's in his 40s, he could be, like, the ultimate, like, power forward.
Yes.
You know, he could just be a passing, you know, power forward type guy and just dissect teams. A little like Boris Diaw plus.
Right. Right. Yes. And LeBron is so generous on the court. His IQ is crazy. And high IQ goes a long way in the NBA.
That's a long way. What's your take on where the Spurs are going?
Oh, Pop going to the team and play basketball. I mean, he's still coached there. I mean, I think they're in a rebuild, honestly. I don't see them come out of the West the way the West is. I mean, they had Aldridge. Aldridge is like trade bait, I believe, honestly. I mean, he could stay there, but I think they can get more for him if they move him to help rebuild the young core they have.
Yeah, I would like to see them move DeRozan and Aldridge. And if they can get some picks or some young guys, I like their backcourt. You know, right. I like Murray. I like White. I like Walker. You know, I think that's like a cool three-headed beast. And I think, like, you could add some more pieces to that, clear the salary cap. That, you know, that could be a team for the next – not, you're right, not now, but maybe a couple of years from now, you know, to kind of rise again. But I've always been a fan of how the Spurs play basketball and their culture of the team, so –
Definitely. I think they're going to analyze what they want to do, because if they're just trying to fight for AC, if that's not the ceiling they want, I think they'll do a rebuild immediately now, start trading off pieces to build toward the future.
Yeah. And I know this will be outdated. All this will be outdated because whenever this is posted, but, you know, I would love to see the Blazers get Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that'd be a good move.
I think he would fit great. I think people are underestimating him. I feel like he started to really play at that level he was before that horrific injury.
Yeah.
And, like, they need one more, like, ball-handling, you know, shooter to, you know, and him with McCollum, with Lillard, with just a couple of big guys up front. Like, I feel like that team could actually, like, in the right series, break through to the finals.
Very true. Some might say that'd be trading offense for defense because he's not that great defensive on the defensive end. But with those three together, McCollum, him, and Lillard, you got to outscore them.
You know, and then maybe you just focus on your big guy defense, you know, and your backup defense, and, you know, you try to build around it. But, yeah, I mean, the league is fun right now, that's for sure.
Very true. Adam, man, thank you for joining me. We definitely got to do this again, bro.
No doubt. Listen, man, continue your grind. Enjoy the work that you've done so far. I think you're bringing on such great guests, and looking forward to connect again in the future.
Yes, sir. Thanks for doing me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You got it, man. Have a good one.
You too. If that was producer, entertainment executive, Adam Newhouse, great interview. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.